Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes, Text Number 14. Dravyam karma chakalascha.
Dravyam karma chakalascha.
Swabhava jiva eva cha.
Swabhava jiva eva cha.
Vasudeva paro brahman.
Vasudeva paro brahman.
Achanya tusti tadvataha. Translation. The five elementary ingredients of creation, the interaction thereof set up by eternal time, and the intuition or nature of the individual living beings are all differentiated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead, Vasudev, and in truth there is no other value in them. Purport. This phenomenal world is impersonally the representation of Vasudev because the ingredients of its creation, their interaction and the enjoyer of the resultant action, the living being, are all produced by the external and internal energies of Lord Krishna. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 4-5. The ingredients, namely earth, water, fire, air, and sky, as well as the conception of material identity, intelligence, and the mind, are produced of the external energy of the Lord. The living entity who enjoys the interaction of the above gross and subtle ingredients as set up by eternal time is an offshoot of internal potency with freedom to remain either in the material world or in the spiritual world. In the material world, the living entity is enticed by deluding nescience, but in the spiritual world, he is in the normal condition of spiritual existence without any delusion. The living entity is known as the marginal potency of the Lord, but in all circumstances, neither the material ingredients nor the spiritual parts and parcels are independent of the personality of Godhead, Vasudev. For all things, whether products of the external, internal, or marginal potencies of the Lord, are simply displays of the same effulgence of the Lord, just as light, heat, and smoke are displays of fire. None of them are separate from the fire, all of them combined together to be called fire. Similarly, all phenomenal manifestations, as well as the effulgence of the body of Vasudev, are his impersonal features, whereas he eternally exists in his transcendental form called Sachit Ananda Vigraha, distinct from all conceptions of the material ingredients mentioned above. Avagyana Tumulandasya Kyanandana Shalakaya Chakshun Manitam Yena Tasma Shri Gurvay Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Sapitam Yena Bhutule Swami Bhagavamayam Tavadu Sabarantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Degirin Yad Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today we're continuing with the conversation that's being repeated here between Lord Brahma and Narada, explaining how everything comes into existence. So the first point of explanation is the Lord's different types of energies. We've heard about the illusory energy that is being the illusory energy that is under the control of the Supreme Lord is acting as a servant, although she does not want to do such a service. She's ashamed of her position, as explained in the previous verse. But nonetheless, it is a service for the Supreme Lord. So we're hearing here first about the external energy, and now we're hearing about the the different elements of creation, how they have been set up and how they become agitated by the time factor, and how past, present and future comes into being, also with the three modes of material nature producing different types of desires, producing different types of living entities with different bodies, etc. So in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna explains Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sachanasram Hetunena Kuntaya Jagat Viparivartate, Krishna is explaining that the material nature is working under his direction and it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. So everything, whether it is Krishna's internal potency, the Vaikuntha sky, the Goloka Dham or Vaikuntha Dham, what is happening in Mahesh Dham or what is happening in Devi Dham, it is all under the guidance and it is all under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, directly or indirectly. Krishna himself explains that yes, everything is resting in him, and however, as this purport points out, that Krishna also has his separate Sat-Chit-Ananda existence, although he's directing all the wanderings of the living entities, producing all moving and non-moving beings, he still remains aloof from the different energies, whether it's inferior or the superior energy. Krishna still remains aloof. And he also says, Na chamastani bhutani pashyame yogam aishvaram bhutha prinacham bhutosto mamadma bhutha bhavana. So Krishna also explains to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra that yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I'm in the maintainer of all the living entities, and although I'm everywhere, still myself is the very source of creation. So everything, yes, is created and maintained by Krishna primarily, and then of course he injects the potency to different entities, Lord Brahma, to be the secondary creator, and he injects the potency to Maya to be able to have influence in the material energy as well. So in the verse I quoted before, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti, the translation, very interesting for Maya Dhyakshena, is that under my supervision, material nature cannot work. So under my direction or supervision, everything is working. So even matter cannot exist without the superior nature. It cannot exist without Krishna. Even our bodies, we can see that they cannot exist without the presence of the superior energy, the living spark, the spirit soul. So all of this is going on. So very interestingly enough, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya is instructing Srila Rupa Goswami in the beginning, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, approaches Lord Chaitanya in a mood of humility, explaining how he doesn't even know who he is, how people are explaining him to be such an advanced person, but he doesn't even know who he is. And the conversation that stems from that starts speaking about the different... Lord Chaitanya first starts speaking about the different potencies, the different energies of Krishna. Although Sanatana Goswami is inquiring about the nature of the self, in order for Sanatana Goswami, of course, in this role to understand that, he starts speaking about the self in relation to creation, in relation to Krishna's potency. So there's a whole section, and I'll quote relevant verses by Lord Chaitanya when he's conversing with Srila Sanatana Goswami on this point. That begins the conversation where the Lord will start explaining about the position of the living entity in their conditioned state, in their liberated state, the position of the external energy, Sanatana Goswami quotes Kayami Kenamaya Jarita Patraya Ihana Hijani Kemane Hitahaya. Who am I? Why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? If I do not know this, how can I be benefited? So this is the first question that Sanatana Goswami is posing to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya then starts explaining about the divine energy of Krishna. He quotes Daivi Heya Shagunamai Mama Maya Duratraya, explaining how there's the three modes of material nature, there's the living entity, and when the living entity gets conditioned, or when the living entity identifies with matter, this inferior Daivi property controls and subjugates the superior Jiva, the superior energy of Krishna. Because Krishna explains in the Gita later on that all these living entities are sparks coming from his body, Mamaishvamsha Jiva, Loke Jiva, Bhuta Sanatana, that they're eternally his fragmented parts and parcels. So in that sense, when they come under the subjugation of the three modes of material nature, which have become agitated by time, they produce different types of bodies, a different type of nose, a different type of ear, a different type of everything, and in that way the conditioned soul starts his journey going around the different Brahmandas, the different types of universes. So Lord Chaitanya starts instructing Sanatana Goswami about the science of the three modes of material nature, how they impact on the living entity, how the living entity seems to mix with matter, seems to interact with these modes of material nature which become agitated by time. So that produces a past, a present, and a future. We accrue a certain type of karma, we produce a certain type of body, we get given that body by the modes of material nature. And in nature, of course, in the translation, it speaks about how the intuition or nature of the individual living beings are all differentiated parts and parcels of the personality of God, and therefore everything in this world actually is of no value. We understand that the value of the material world is that Krishna is present in his super soul aspect, that the living entity is also present. Otherwise, the material world or the external energy of the Lord has no potency, it has no value. So in the matter of creation, when all the material ingredients are there in their gross and subtle form, only until the Lord glances over the material nature are they injected with life, do they become active. But if we remove Krishna from that equation, even the gross and subtle aspects of existence have no value. So nothing would work unless the Lord would glance over material nature and impregnate all the living entities into material existence. So this phenomenal world has value, although it is made up of a material covering. It has value because the Lord himself descends in his Paramatma feature. The Lord himself accompanies all the different types of living entities in order to fulfill their material desires in this Devi Dham, in this Dham, under the jurisdiction of Durga Devi. So the beginning points, Lord Chaitanya speaks about the Vedic texts and how they are meant to liberate one from the clutches of material existence, and how the living entity, by the process of bhakti, the 10 different processes of bhakti, of course the first being sadhana bhakti, and then you have different, from sneha to mahabhav, the different types of bhakti. So when a living entity comes into the process of bhakti, he's able to extricate himself from the clutches of past, present, or future. So later on, Lord Chaitanya continues similarly to what's being explained in this verse, that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead glances over the material energy, she becomes agitated. In that time, the Lord injects the original Simna, the living entities, who are but tiny expansions of the Lord's body. So here we're speaking, the translation speaks about how the nature of the individual living beings as differentiated parts of Krishna is all coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So our qualities, our different natures that we have are but offshoots of the qualities Krishna also has. So Krishna says, yes, I am the source of both matter and spirit, and he always remains aloof, as mentioned before. So this is how the living entity seems to mix with matter and spirit. Originally he's coming from Krishna, the supreme Purushottama, Krishna. But when the living entity gets affected by avidya, different types of avidya, he loses that understanding, that original constitution of being a servant of Krishna, and identifies with matter and assumes a body covered by gross and subtle ignorance. So, moving on, when we hear about Krishna being the seed-giving father, by injecting the original semina, Krishna says, O son of Kunti, it should be understood that all species of life are made possible by birth in this material world, and that I am the seed-giving father. So the absolute truth explains Janmadi Asyayataha, that everything is originally coming from Krishna. The absolute truth is from whom everything emanates from. So everything means everything, otherwise it cannot be an absolute truth. So both dualities rest in Krishna, heat and cold, everything is resting in Krishna. But we do not lose Krishna within this equation. We do not think that also Krishna is affected by duality, etc. He is the supreme truth, Param Satyam Dhimahi. The absolute truth is Krishna. And this has been explained in the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadyasyaya Taha Nyavad Itaras Chartarvish Abhigyasvarat. Now the absolute truth is a person who is directly and indirectly cognizant of the entire cosmic manifestation. So he is the one person who is directly and indirectly cognizant of the entire cosmic manifestation. So indirectly means, as it's being explained here, through the ingredients of his creation, through the interaction of his different energies, he's maintaining the external manifestation. And she is working under the guidance, under the supervision of Krishna. In this verse, Prabhupada mentions in the small book that we have, Rajavidya, a small little booklet, Prabhupada emphasizes the word Maya Dhyakshena, that everything is wonderfully acting by Krishna's will. Even the material energy, it is under Krishna's direction. So nothing can move, nothing can be produced, nothing can flourish without Krishna's potency having been injected in it. So ultimately everything, material ingredients, creation, it is working under Krishna's direction and under Krishna's shelter. So that is the point. Even the external energy of the Lord, here what is mentioned, it is the five gross elements, earth, water, fire, air and sky, as well as the concept of material identity, intelligence and the mind are produced of the external energy of the Lord. So this is how the Supreme Lord is indirectly cognizant of what is happening in material creation through his external energy. He's cognizant. And the living entity who enjoys the interaction of the above gross and subtle ingredients as set up by time is an offshoot of the internal potency with freedom to remain either in the material world or in the spiritual world. So this tatasta or marginal characteristic is that we have this independence, which is also coming from Krishna. We have independence because Krishna is the supreme independent Lord. We have this minute, by the way, it is a very minute independence because we're fully dependent on Krishna for everything, even for forgetfulness. We're supremely dependent on Krishna. So the living entity, it is an offshoot of that internal potency in our original state. The internal potency, of course, we've been hearing that it is spiritual by nature. It is Satchidananda. But when this offshoot tatasta energy of Krishna chooses to move away from the original state of consciousness, that original state of consciousness becomes covered. Not that it is non-existent, but it becomes covered. Just like when the pure rainwater falls on sand, it becomes mixed with the sand, it becomes muddy. So it becomes difficult to see the pure water. What we see is an amalgamation of water and earth. However, within that, there is the water. So within our material body, within our gross, subtle body, there is the spirit soul, which is actually the driving force. So we are an offshoot of the internal potency. We are actually Sachit Ananda. We have a spiritual form, and we have the qualities similar to Krishna. We are godly by nature. We have minute. We are similar to Krishna in terms of our quality, but of course, quantity-wise, we are very, very small. We are Anu, and Krishna is Vibhu. He is magnanimous. He is opulent. However, we contain fragments, small fragments of the same qualities of Krishna, just as the drop of seawater has the same combination, or it has the same qualities or the same minerals as you'd find in the body of the ocean of water. So similarly, the ocean is vast, it is huge, and the one drop that we take out of it is very small. Nonetheless, the same quality is there, the same minerals are there, but in small, small quantities. So in the mature world, the living entity is enticed by the deluding nescience. It is the nature of being in Devidam, being in a place that is governed by the three modes of material nature. It is the nature that the conditioned soul's normal understanding of being a servant of Krishna will become covered. And the result, or we should say the consequence of that, is the fact that we become forgetful not only of ourselves, but also forgetful of Krishna, and forgetful of Krishna's different energies and our relationship to them. It is not possible for us to defeat the external energy on our own strength. I was just reading an article the other day. There have been quite a few tsunamis happening in the Asian region, the Philippines, etc. So now people, as always, they're starting to blame God. There was a whole article saying, where was God when the tsunamis hit, or when there was a hurricane, etc., etc. So now they're trying, there have been these whole meetings by the United Nations to try to see how to stop these natural calamities from happening. Right? It is beyond our control when a strong tsunami comes or a typhoon. What can an insignificant living entity do against this powerful force? There's nothing any one man can do. We can build huge skyscrapers. We can try to fend ourselves off by building a magnanimous house and etc. But when the time factor comes in the form of a tsunami or in the form of a hurricane or an earthquake, what can we do? We become helpless. And this is how insignificant we are. I remember also in 1998, I was in a tennis tournament in Moscow, and the weather was terrible. Like, you know, tennis, they were indoor courts, but we were outdoors, it was grass court. And it was raining for like 1 week. And you know, we're there for 3 weeks. What are we going to do? So the scientists were trying to manipulate the atmospheric pressure with the condensation so that it does not rain, so that the sun can come out, trying to manipulate and control the material elements. And ultimately, it wasn't possible. It was a little bit of a disaster. So this idea that the living entity in the covered state can actually try to control the external energy, it is not possible. We have to understand the value and the place of the external energy, what your service is to Krishna, and how we relate to that external energy. Are we meant to enjoy her? Are we meant to understand how she works and dovetail our original position as servants of Krishna within that understanding. So when we understand this point, you know, Krishna mentions Dehino Smanyata Dehe Komram Yovaram Jara, that when we understand this gradual progression of being in different bodies and then eventually changing a body, we do not become fooled and bewildered thinking that we have died eternally, we're going to die, this is it, we're dead. But we understand that the body, that death is just a change of body, that the soul is going on eternally. So when we understand how the material energy is working, she's poking us with these three tridents of passion, goodness, and ignorance, that we learn how to avoid, of course, being in an ignorant state, in a passionate state. We're also trying to avoid sattva-gun because we want to elevate ourselves to a state where eventually we're beyond goodness, passion, and ignorance, and not have to come and become subjugated by this energy of Krishna. So we have to understand this energy, how it works, how it can affect us, and how we can move away from it and come back in our marginal state, come back and choose to serve Krishna, because that is the original position of the living entity. Although we are marginal and we can choose to enjoy the material energy or not, still the original state of the living entity is that it is a servant of Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, just as we cannot separate sunshine from the sun. The sunshine is part of the sun, there's just no, we can't say it's part of the earth or the water. The sunshine comes from the sun. The spark of fire, it comes from the fire, it jumps out. That is the fact of life. Even if it chooses to go elsewhere, the fact of life is that the living entity is originally a servant of Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, and that we are always dependent, whether we choose to swing towards the external energy or the internal potency, still we are dependent on Krishna. Everything we do, we require material ingredients, we require the different combinations and the different manipulations of it. Everything is coming from Krishna. We just put our little efforts and our endeavors. So in this way, our complete dependence of Krishna is there, whether we are in our conditioned state or in our liberated state. We are dependent on Krishna. The Prabhupada further moves on to say, the living entity is known as the marginal potency of the Lord, but in all circumstances, neither the material ingredients nor the spiritual parts and parcels are independent of the personality of Godhead Vasudev. For all things, whether products of the external, internal, or marginal potencies of the Lord, are simply displays of the same effulgence of the Lord. So just as we have our powerhouse, you know, whatever we plug in, you can have a hot comb and curl your hair, you can have an iron and iron something, you can have a fridge and you can freeze things, you can create ice, you can condense, you can do so many things, but the power source is that electric current. So Krishna is powering everything. There's the external energy that's produced from Krishna, there's the internal potency coming from Krishna. However, that, you know, Krishna always remains independent. He's separate from everything. So just as the electricity, it is used to cool, it is used to heat. But we don't, if something goes off in our fridge or if our thermostat doesn't work, we don't go to the electricity and start blaming the electricity for the malfunction that happened in the fridge or that happened in whatever gizmo we have. The electricity, it's independent, it does its thing, it passes, it produces electricity, that is it. Krishna, he is the source of all energies, and he expands in wonderful ways as the Purusha avatars, as the Guna avatars, the Leela avatars, Shakti Avesha avatars, etc. He's expansive like that, but he always remains aloof. The energies are working under, of course, his direct control, but he always remains aloof. So just as light, heat, and smoke cannot be separated from a fire, all of them combined together, they're called fire. So all phenomenal manifestations, as well as the effulgence of the body of Vasudev, are his impersonal features, whereas he eternally exists in his transcendental form called Sachit Ananda Vigraha. So very important that we also understand what Prabhupada is saying here, all phenomenal manifestations, as well as the effulgence of the body, or Vasudev, are his impersonal features. So none of them, we cannot separate, in creation, literally, we cannot separate anything from Krishna. Directly or indirectly, you will find Krishna there. No energy is independent of Krishna. But he, Prabhupada, is making it very, very obvious. He eternally exists in his transcendental form. So he has his energies and he's also separate in his personality, in his characteristics. And he's distinct from the conceptions of material ingredients that I mentioned above. These earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false egos. He is distinct from all these things because he is always Sachidananda Vigraha. He cannot be tainted. If he would be, then he wouldn't be God. God is above all these things. Everything rests in him. So the living entity in this point is being put in its place in relationship to the specifically to the different elements of creation, in relationship to the external energy of Krishna. And when we understand that, of course, we are humble enough to understand that we do not fight Maya one-on-one, that actually Krishna is helping us from within. By the process of bhakti, we're able to see, we're able to hear properly how these energies work and function. But all these ingredients, they are produced by the external energy of the Lord. By the Lord's specific functional expansion, he touches material energy. By his functional expansion, Maya, he touches material energy. And the living entities are impregnated into material nature. So this is our position. So the universes come from the pores of Mahavishnu. The living entities are coming from the pores of Mahavishnu. This is material creation. This is how Prabhupada explains it later on. Without living entities, material nature has no value. Without living entities, material nature has no value. Both emanate from Mahavishnu. So, Lord Prabhupada, of course, later on, he will make it a clear point that also material nature, as I mentioned early in the beginning, Krishna explains that, you know, he's the seed-giving father, and only after he glanced over material nature, when he impregnated, not the normal impregnation, of course, Krishna can impregnate simply by glancing. This is explained in the Brahman Samhita, Angani Yasya Sakalindriya Vichamanti. We sing it every morning. That simply by his glance he impregnates. So the Lord impregnates by his glance, and all these living entities, all the different universes are manifested. And from that manifestation, the living entity has a play pen or a field of activity that he can go and exert his different desires, where he can go and spread out his mental speculations, whatever concoctions they may have. The material world is created for that. And in that sense, it has value because the living entity has this opportunity to either become really engrossed in matter or attain a human body and become liberated in the same light. So, in that way, the material energy has no value. The only value that the material nature has is because the living entities are there. And Krishna is also there. And we're utilizing a bad bargain to get out of the cycle of birth and death. So, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita very nicely his inferior energy to his superior energy, where he begins with Bhumi Apo Nalo Vayu, explaining the five different energies in their gross and subtle form. And also in 7.5, he explains that there's a superior energy another energy of mind, or Arjuna, which comprises of the living entities. So by nature we are superior. But when we pose ourselves independent of Krishna in front of the material energy, it seems that we are inferior. When we independently remove Krishna from everything and we see ourselves as the supreme controllers, the dominators, the proprietors of everything, the Ishvaras, then it seems that we are actually inferior. But Krishna says, "Oh, Almighty Arjuna, there is no superior. There is another superior energy of mine which comprises of the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature." So our nature is actually superior, but because we come in contact with matter, we lose sight of Krishna, and we want to independently try to enjoy the external energy, and that is why we seem so inferior. But by nature, our tattva is superior to the external energy. When that truth is covered, we appear to be extremely inferior. So that is the dangerous position of the conditioned soul, that when it comes into the material world, the potency is greatly diminished. Our potency as Satchidananda becomes extremely small because we don't identify with it. We identify with the gross and subtle body. And material bodies are very, very limiting. The material body is extremely limiting. We have our four defects. We have the three types of miseries. There's so many other hankerings that we have to deal with. Right, so the material body is very limiting. And that is why we're not able to understand our position in relationship to Krishna. So the next chapter, the next few verses will speak about the different other types of living entities, the demigods, sacrifices, different planetary systems, etc., all in relationship to Krishna. And in this way, according to the Vedanta Sutras, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, you start to understand everything in relationship to Krishna and our place in this material world, in our original relationship with Krishna. So, the five elementary ingredients of creation, the interaction thereof set up by eternal time, and the intuition or nature of the individual living beings are all differentiated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead, Vasudev. And in truth, there is no other value in them. So I'll stop there and I'll ask if there's any comments or questions. Electricity and?
Electricity is independent of the device. The device may work on. Electricity compared to Krishna. You
know, so electricity, you know how electricity can be used to heat or cool? So this is, Krishna has, because normally Krishna gets criticized, well, how can Krishna touch the material energy? How can everything come from Krishna and then yet he remains aloof? So I think it's in Rajavidya, yeah, this book. Prabhupada explains how, you know, just like electricity, its function, sometimes it creates heat, it creates cold. That is, both things are coming because of the electric current. So Krishna is the cause of all causes. Everything is coming from him. Spiritual energy and the material energy is coming from one source. That's the point. The point is that there is one source, it is Krishna. But from that one source, there's diverse different types of energies. But the source is one. Just like electricity is used for so many things, for light, for creating wind, for creating heat, for creating cold. But the source is that electricity that you switch on or you plug in.
Thank you for the wonderful class, Madhavi. You mentioned that in the course of discussing the jiva, the prakriti, the mode, the time, you mentioned about the past, present, and future the jiva is subjected to by being disposed to the interaction of these material elements under the influence of time. Past, present, future, I'm trying to understand past, present, future. Is it purely a time-based definition, or is this, because if the jiva is subjected to the modes, Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, he's the enjoyer of the interactions.
Mm-hmm.
So then past, present, future appears to be more or less his karma. I'm not very clear with what I have on.
So what is the question?
The question is, how do we understand past, present, future? In understanding it from the point of view of time, a linear definition of time, past, present, future, or past, present, future is an interaction of the modes, thereby a resultant, the result of our own karma.
Okay, so time in terms of past, present, future, a linear definition, or it is a result of the interactions of matter. Is that what you're saying?
Interaction of my free will with matter.
So it's a result of karma?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it?
So in...
I'm lost.
Okay, so to put it simply, of course the pure soul, the living entity, I mean, we know that in the Vaikuntha planets, the concept of time is very different from the material sphere. So time there doesn't have any degrading effect. It doesn't have any. It doesn't suck the youth out of any activity, etc. Whereas in the domain of Durga and Devidam, time has this potency to nullify, to reduce, to exert certain negative implications. So for the conditioned soul who chooses to wander in material existence, this past, present, and future is created based on the desire. So if the material desires are still there, of course it will seem like there's a time where we were created. There's a time where we come and play in the material world, and if we do not get liberated, then there's a future that is created either in the upper planetary system, the middle planetary system, or the lower planetary system. And once again, we go into the whirlpool of samsara. So that within the material domain keeps happening. That is time for the conditioned soul. But for the liberated soul who is not within the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature, these effects are not there. Time, yes, is inconspicuous by its absence in the Vaikuntha planets. But in the material sphere, this past, present, future will exists eternally because it is fueled by our karma and our desires. So as long as these are still gyrating, as long as they're still going, we have to seemingly take birth, stay for some time, not produce some byproducts, dwindle, then vanish, being carried by our subtle body, which is filled with our desires, then take on another body with a different type of ear, a different type of nose, different type of mother, and then once again, from parabra to aparabra, kama to kuta to bijam, the cycle continues. So unless that is stopped, this apparent taking birth, sustenance, and then destruction will continue unless we really get out of so-called material happiness. Because there's the happiness you experience from matter, there's a happiness you experience from Brahman, and then there's a happiness you experience from bhakti. So only the one that you get from bhakti is actually the stable, superior type of happiness. Even the happiness one experiences in Brahman, which is an indirect way to try to achieve happiness, still that is not a permanent fixture. It is not a permanent fixture. The living entities still have to glide down because it's not an original state of existence. Any other question or comment? Yes, but
time is not a product of the material energy.
Yes?
It's Krishna. The time factor is Krishna.
yeah, comes as Krishna, as death, or in different ways.
When Krishna glances over the material energy, then that starts everything.
Creation, that is time. That glancing is time.
Yes, well, not that that is time, but that starts all.
Yeah, creation begins, so that creation is seen to as beginning, middle, and end. It is seen as time, but it is not time. It is Krishna starting the process of creation.
Yes.
So, yeah, time is not created by the three modes of material nature.
Not at all. It's Krishna says time, land. So.
Krishna uses time to allow things to happen in the material or the spiritual cosmos. He uses it. It's an instrument for, we could say, pastimes to happen or for things to get started.
So time is superior to the modes of material nature?
I wouldn't say superior to the modes. It says the interaction thereof set up by eternal time. So, it's interesting here. So I just wanted to... So I just wanted to see if I can find it here.
I'm trying to understand it on the basis of what Prabhu said, because modes of material nature are material energy, but time is not material element. So constitutionally, by intrinsic nature, time becomes superior to material nature, and also we see that under the influence of the time, the modes start to, you know, work.
Yeah, under the influence of time, the modes act in a certain way. Yes, Governor Shubha?
Time is considered one of the aspects of Maya Shakti. Material time, because time has its material existence and still material time is considered an aspect of
Maya
Shakti.
Maya Shakti. So just as I said, you know, in the spiritual abode there's also time, but it works differently than in the material world. So Maya is the efficient cause, then Pradhana, of course, is the ingredients. As within Maya Shakti, the efficient cause is all these elements, and time is the last element that's been mentioned. In the Bhagavatam, time comes as the last one that's been mentioned. So it's an efficient cause. But even in the superior nature, time is used. But as Prabhupada would say, time in the spiritual world is inconspicuous by its absence. So it takes on a different flow, it takes on a different effect used by Krishna in that way. So it creates it creates youthfulness, it creates taste, it increases rasa. It increases the different types of tastes, whereas in the material world, of course, it's diminishing everything. It is taking away potency, it is taking away energy. That's how time in the material cosmos is working.
The creation is kind of Kala Chogata. The more time in the material then the Kala
I understand that doesn't necessarily mean that time is superior to the modes, does it?
Doesn't mean it's superior, but at the same time, Bhagavatam references are there because it is time is considered part of
of kind of superior in that sense.
Okay.
That's like Paramatma shows that another first kind of.
Tom doesn't carry the reactions of the living entity into little
still.
Yeah. The living entity carries the delivered by the super soul. Or administered by this, overseen by the super soul. Drashta, Anumanta, the overseen and the permitter.
Okay, contrast my Bhagavatam ki.
Exactly.